Tom Flores joins us on Sports Byline USA. I've known Tom for a long time since he was a coach with the certainly the Oakland Raiders, the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. He won a couple of Super Bowls as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. He also played for them as a quarterback, and he was the very first Hispanic head coach in the National Football League, and he joins us to talk a little bit about Al Davis. When was the first time you met him, Tom?
Well, it was 1963, and I was with the Raiders, and he came in as a new coach, and he called me, and I came in to meet him for the first time, and within the first half hour, we were on the blackboard going over X's and O's, and he was going like crazy on all the stuff that he wanted to do, and I was just in awe at some of the stuff that he's putting up there, and so I was very happy about it.
You know, a lot of people have not talked about him as a coach. I'm glad you brought that up. What type of coach, what was the seeds and the foundation of his coaching abilities?
Well, he was very, he liked the wide open offensive approach, attack approach, throwing the ball down the field. In those days, the OAFL days, everybody was trying to play man-to-man coverage, and he wanted to go after the man. And then, so he was very offensive and pass-oriented. And then also, defensively, he liked to pressure you and attack you on defense with the tight coverage. So he was, you know, don't take what they give you, you take what you want kind of attitude. And he was always that way, and he never fluctuated over the years. He just adjusted to the new trends with the new bodies, the new type of people, new type of players, and rules and regulations, and still wanted to be that type of offense and defense.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because, of course, the late Bill Walsh was a good friend of mine, and I was the play-by-play announcer down at Stanford when he was there the very first time. And the one thing I always recognized about him, and I guess he got this from Al Davis since he was an assistant coach on the Raiders at one time, is that he dictated the tempo of the game to the opponent, not the other way around. Am I correct in that observation?
Absolutely. Bill was actually my coach. His first year, his only year with the Raiders, 1966, was my last year as a player with the Raiders before I got traded. And Bill was my coach. We became good friends and stayed good friends through the rest of his life. He learned a lot from, you know, as far as the offensive part of the game. Bill was brilliant because he was very student. He was a student of the game, and he conversed with Al a lot and took what he had learned and then put it in with his personality and took it to another level.
One of the things that we've always heard about Al Davis when it came to draft time, that he really loved the vertical game and he also loved speed. Tell me a little bit about the type of player that over the years, even from when you were a player for him and even during the years in which you were a coach for him and he was the owner of the team, tell me about the players that he liked. And everybody knows about the reputation of the Raiders bringing in players that didn't kind of fit in elsewhere.
Well, he always did like speed. And the first thing that he did when he took over the Raiders was get some speed and size. And when he got Art Powell as a wide receiver, we already had Bo Roberson, who was a, you know, Olympic type speed guy. Clem Daniels was with us. So he did have speed. And then the size with the knowing that you had to protect the quarterback with the tackles. Jim Otto was always there, so he lucked out in that respect that Jim was a mainstay and remained there forever. And that never changed. He kept drafting and moving people or trading for people. He traded for, give you an example, he traded for Billy Cannon. Billy came in and he made him a tight end. We made him a tight end because he had the speed to go deep as a tight end. And that's one of the things that Billy started, the series of great tight ends. So, you know, it goes on and on, but that philosophy never changed, and to this day it was the same.
What about the personality of players? Because having been around the team when you were the coach and also when John Madden was the coach, there were some unique individuals and personalities, but it never seemed to bother Al Davis. What was it that he looked for, or did he even care about what a player had done elsewhere?
Well, he cared if the player, you know, it depended on what the player had done. If the player came in and was going to be disruptive in the organization, then obviously we wouldn't tolerate it. But if the player was going to come in, he would give them another opportunity if the player still had some gas in the tank. In those days, and even today probably, but in those days, you know, a player, if there was something happened, he got out of line, the team just let him go just for no reason. Matuszak is one of those. Still had several years left to play. Alzado, he was on the verge of it being over, but we rejuvenated him. Jim Plunkett, we resurrected him. The guys that had the unique personalities or that had failed, maybe everybody thought it was over. He would give them another chance. You know, we're always wrong, right on that in that respect, but we were so good in those days that we could bring one guy in and just put him in there, and he would perform at a higher level because he was surrounded by good players.
And I also assume that the players kind of took on, and even the team as a whole took on, the personality of Al Davis, which his personality was one of us against the world. And I really thought the players he brought in kind of bonded to that philosophy. Am I correct about that, Tom?
Well, a lot of them did. You know, some didn't, but most of them did, because they knew that this was their last stop, maybe, and that Al had given them a chance, and they worked very hard to return the favor and earn his respect in doing so. And Al was very, very good to guys like that, and they knew it. They felt it, and they were loyal to him forever after that. And Al loved his players. He loved, he loved those of us that coached and work for him. I was with him almost 49 years, so that's a long relationship to have with a guy in that business especially.
A lot of people talk about his hands-on approach with his coaches. You took the team to two Super Bowls, and if my memory serves me correctly, one of those teams in which you beat the Philadelphia Eagles, were they not a wild card, the first wild card team to win a Super Bowl?
Yes, we were. We were the first one, 1980 season, we had started out, we were 2-3, and Pastorini had broke his leg, then Plunkett, we brought him in, and we had people that we had picked up elsewhere, Burgess Owens, Bobby Chandler, we had traded for Kenny King. Upshaw and Shell had another good year to give us, and we still had enough people that knew how to win, and then we had other people that gave us their last year or two. And put it all together, that was a great year for us. That was probably one of our great accomplishments in my career, head coaching career.
You know,
how we did it.
You know, John Madden had, of course, the outgoing kind of flamboyant type of personality. You were the antithesis of that, Tom. You stayed within yourself. I rarely saw you get emotional, and I know how difficult that one season was. You and I have talked about it, where reportedly after losing a couple of games back-to-back, that maybe Al Davis was ready to fire you and everything. Was the fact that you stayed even-keeled one of the reasons why you were able to persist within that organization and get along with Al Davis to the point that you could have the success of two Super Bowls?
I think that was probably part of it, the fact that I had played for him, that I had worked for him. I knew his personality. I knew how he operated, and he knew mine. I think that all helped. I had the strength to handle that situation. That was a tough part of my early head coaching career, and I weathered the storm, and we were able to get through it together. And together, we weren't doing anything wrong. We just had to work harder and do it better, and we did. Because one thing Al did when he demanded that you work hard, he worked hard too, right with you.
He had the reputation, and certainly the slogan was "Just Win, Baby." And when you did win, was he the type of person that would be forward enough to say, "Hey, you did a hell of a job. Thank you."
Yeah, he did it. He did it, privately. Didn't do it a lot publicly, but he did it a lot privately. And Al was a tough guy to work for, and he even he told me that right off the bat. He said, "I'm a tough guy to work for," and I knew that already. And he said, "You're the guy that has to answer to everything that happens, and you only." And he was, which is the way it is. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Right or wrong, the head coach gets most of the blame, and probably not enough. Credit, but that was one of the ways I could handle it, because in recent years some of the coaches that have come through the door there have not been able to handle that situation.
He was also very strong on loyalty, and one of the things I always admired him for, and you rarely heard these stories until after their careers were over or if a player had a difficult time. Jim Otto, of course, went through some difficult times with the operations that he had health-wise. There were other players that had similar situations. He was always somebody that was there to be able to help out. I mean, he was somebody that truly cared about his players, not only when they were in uniform for him, but years after they were out of uniform as well. I thought that was one of his special strong suits.
Very strong suit that he had, very being a part of his personality, and never publicized it. He never wanted fanfare for that. And not only Raider players. I mean, there were other players that had played for other teams that he helped that were destitute or ill or needed something. Reporters, friends in the organization, you know, wives, you name it. He had another side to him that was never publicized. As I said, he was a very complex guy, driven, loyal to that team. That was his passion, plus his, you know, that team and his wife and son, Mark. That was it. That was his whole life right there.
Let me ask you, because you're a part of the broadcast team and you were down in Houston for their game on Sunday after he passed away on Saturday. Tell me a little bit about the atmosphere around that game, before that game, and then after the game was over with, Tom.
Well, the atmosphere Saturday morning early when I found out about it, I was awakened by John Herrera, who came to my room, and I was, you know, I said, well, you know, what's going on here? Because he called and said, can I come? I got to tell you, I got to run something by you. And I, you know, this is early. And he came to the room, knocked on the door, came in and told me, and I was devastated. And we were both, you know, and he was still in shock, but he was a messenger. And the whole dining room and the meeting rooms with the players was very quiet. It's like you were attending, almost like you were attending the funeral already. Everybody was kind of whispering, and it was that way all day long. And I didn't know how the players were going to react, because this was a very young football team. So I was a little concerned. I said, this team is so young. Some of these guys didn't really know Al that well, if at all. And if it had been a veteran team, it would have been different. But they responded with glory, and they played their hearts out. The Hugh Jackson and his staff coached their hearts out. And at the end, it paid off, and it was almost a storybook ending.
Yeah, when you think about how it did end with that interception in the end zone and it kind of clinched the victory, it seems like everybody kind of exhaled at that particular moment. Before I kick you loose here, you know, I know you have many moments and many remembrances about Al Davis, but is there one that in your mind stands out above the most, that one that Tom Flores personally appreciates more than any other, Tom?
I don't know. You know, there were quite a few moments. Obviously, winning, you know, two Super Bowls were big, and winning my first game was big, and probably one of the non-football issues was when my wife became ill, and I was working in Seattle at the time after I had left the Raiders, and he was the first one to call and to make sure that I had the best of the best to take care of her, and that's something that is pretty unique in the way he lived.
What do you think his football legacy will be?
I don't know, but it should be great, because he didn't change the game, but he made it better. He made the Raiders better. He was just the epitome of what a football guy should be. Hard guy to work for, but when you worked with him, he worked with you. Because he demanded so much of you, but he also demanded that much of himself. But he was just the consummate professional football coach, assistant coach, head coach, general manager, owner, you name it.
Tom, I want to thank you very much for your thoughts and sharing them with us, but also the insight to the man as well as the coach, the general manager, the commissioner of the AFL. Thank you very much, Tom. Take care, and I look forward to chatting with you again.
Okay, Ron, talk to you soon.
Tom Flores, former quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, former assistant coach, former head coach, who won two Super Bowls for the Oakland Raiders, talking about Al Davis, who passed away at the age of 82. And I can only tell you that as a sportscaster in San Francisco, a young one, I will always remember some of the crossings that I had with Al Davis. We continue with more of You and Sports Byline.